And now, your favorite host on your favorite station.
You're listening to Ride Time Radio.
So here we go again, and we're stepping out of the music and into the serious life of business. We're going to step into the business lounge tonight on 90.4 FM here on Ride Time Radio, and I'm delighted to be joined by Andy Palmer, who is my resident speaker, and when he's not busy boxing in the UK with his daughter, he will be always here helping me get through the hour and decipher the business world in Spain and Tenerife. Andy, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well.
You was just in UK last week?
I was. Well, just for the weekend. Flew over on Friday and then flew back here on Tuesday morning. Just sort out some bits and pieces with my daughter.
Good.
Had another meeting with a manager and a few little hurdles that we've got to get over now. So we're going to be delayed a little bit on that. But
Big experience for you as well, Andy, isn't it? You know, even going through this whole process. I mean, you talked about Jerry going into kind of training and doing a few some of this pro fighting to actually lead her to the next step, which is to be a trainer and stuff like that. And
yeah,
this is great experience for you, isn't it, to actually see this whole thing of getting to that level, getting on the card, getting all of this in place. And so even that, every day you're going back and experiencing this, it's a learning curve.
Yeah, no, and it's quite intriguing for me as well, obviously, to learn it and obviously speaking to a manager and, you know, jumping through the hoops and the hurdles and everything to be able to get an actual pro license just to fight is a big hurdle anyway. It's, if anybody thinks it's easy and everybody can go and do it, it's not. It really isn't. And we've got a few issues that we're just addressing at the moment.
And just for the record, for the listeners, you know, Andy's daughter, Jerry, is entering the world of pro boxing as a female. And she's been doing very, very well in the amateur ranks, and now she's stepping up again, and this is exactly what we're talking about. Andy, let me just stop you there, because I've got somebody else waiting to come in, right? He's busy knocking that door and waiting patiently for us. We've had him on the show before. Let's invite Roy into the show from the Zen Co Networking community. Roy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, mate. It's very nice to be back on with you. So,
well, always a pleasure. You must have done something right the last time, Roy. That's all we can say.
Oh, you know, the wedge of cash under the door helped, I reckon, as well, you know.
Hold on, I'm still going through that. Can you finish counting that black bag, please? Right, so it's good to have you on. It's good to have you on because we have Andy as well. He's got a connection with the digital world as well. He's actually, you know, always been in digital stuff, but he's got another connection there, which I know you guys will talk about. I'm just going to go back over to Andy, and let's talk about this crazy week or 2 weeks we've just seen, Andy, with the Cheltenham Cup. We went into Paddy's Day. The island is absolutely heaving.
It's been so busy. Like we touched on last week, Tenerife is the number one destination to watch the Cheltenham races on television.
Yeah.
And with it being back-to-back with St. Patrick's Day as well, it's just been absolutely... I've never seen it so busy.
It kind of reminded me of the old days, let's say, you know, back in the sort of, you know, the 90s when I used to come over, and I was much, much younger then, right? But I used to enjoy it down the strip and down in the bars. I must say I didn't like it one little bit. I was glad to get out of there this weekend because it was like four and five deep at the bar. I felt like an old man compared to all the young lads with their tops off and their Guinness hats on, all dressed up in their leprechaun uniforms. But it did also feel like a tinderbox as well, you know, and it was going to go off in every bar at any moment, you know.
You can't. It's you just don't want to be in that scenario when you get to our age, Adam. You just, you know, any work that I had to do, I was in the morning before 11 o'clock in most of them, just to be able to get the work done and get out. I just didn't want to be anywhere before the first race started.
I can't believe that we used to enjoy that kind of vibe so much when we was younger, but we did. It's what you came for, you know, that heavingness of people everywhere, people getting drunk and, you know, all that kind of, you know, atmosphere and bars playing loud music. It's what everybody came for back in the 90s, isn't it?
I know. But aren't we feeling like our fathers or our parents?
You know, I sound like one nearly every weekend.
I know. I can feel myself morphing into my father.
Yeah. Well, let's move over to Roy. Roy, let's talk about your industry then. So we talked to you a few weeks ago. Everything was very, very busy for you. Is that continuing now as you go into these busy weeks with holidays?
It's been very surprising, actually. I think with the tourism sector being so busy over the last couple of weeks, it's actually had a reverse effect on the remote working scene and the digital nomads coming over. For me, for the co-working space and looking across all of the co-working spaces in the area, it's been particularly quiet compared to the last couple of years. And alongside that with our community events, they've been a lot quieter to the point where I've actually had to cancel a couple in the last couple of weeks. I cancelled an entrepreneurs meetup, and I also cancelled a remote working trip to La Gomera, just because I purely couldn't get the numbers. Mm. So I think all the boys with their tops off drinking the Guinness for Cheltenham were scaring them off.
Well, I mean, you did talk about as well, you've got a bit of animosity building on some of the channels with regarding Spanish kind of, we've got this, you know, tourist go home thing still appearing everywhere. It's actually catching on a little bit, unfortunately, and that's rolling on into the mainland now across Andalusia. So there is this kind of, you know, small fraction of people who are making people feel uncomfortable. Is that anything to do with it? Have you had more of that growth on your side of things?
There has been a bit more growth. I don't know if it was before or after I was last time on the show, but we actually hosted an event in Los Gigantes for remote workers, which was paid for by the tourism department. I presented the event myself. Dimple Mawani, the new CEO of Turismo Tenerife, was the main speaker. And what they did is they actually put a post out on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it, promoting the event the day before. And the uproar was unbelievable.
No way.
There was over 400 negative comments saying digital nomads go home. And there was a genuine threat that there was going to be a group outside the hotel that we hosted the event at, that were protesting against digital nomads being on the island. That's how the, you know, talk from within the tourism department was there. It didn't happen, luckily. It was an amazing event. It went very, very, very well. And, you know, Turismo Tenerife were very impressed with the community that we've been building. But I'm trying to kind of protect it a little bit from people, but within the community, but I'm also organizing events to talk about the dark side of digital nomadism. So as a community, we can work better towards integrating properly into the island, and being respectful of local culture and not kind of, you know, avoiding displacement of local people. It's very
strange. I'll tell you what I find very strange about that, right? Is that we are a very pro PSOE kind of country in the Canaries, right, which is the Socialist Party. The Socialist Party are very liberal and they are very pro-Europe, right? So we have a very pro-Euro stance here that they want fling open arms to people to come in from Europe, from anywhere, and come and come here and move across borders. Now, I'm a bit anti-EU, right? And Andy will tell you that over the last 3 weeks. He's kind of seen me go down that road because as I do more digging, I find more corruption. And as I find more corruption, it makes me more annoyed. But on a base level, for a country that is full of people voting for PSOE, right, which is a socialist party who are for the workers and are flinging their arms open for a liberal EU and come and throw yourselves around without having any checks and whatnot, it does surprise me. What do you reckon, Andy?
No, I'm very surprised. And I'd like to know, what was the type of negative feedback that you were getting, Roy?
It's more, I think, if you boil it down on any level, you know, people who come from Tenerife and live here, but you can see it in the expat communities as well, is cost of living is that much higher. The cost to rent, the availability of properties within the residential market when things are being advertised on Airbnb for higher and higher prices, you know, it's the cost of food, the gentrification of restaurants that are no longer cheap. They're now flash burgers or whatever. If something starts hitting someone's pocket, then on a political front, it doesn't matter so much. If something's affecting you right in front of you, then you look for someone to lash out at. And if you look at digital nomads compared to tourism, you know, random numbers, there's 30,000 digital nomads in Tenerife a year at the moment, and over 5 million tourists. We're tiny in comparison.
Exactly.
But, you know, digital nomads are very vocal, and you know, they're very digitally mature. They are influencers. They are in tech. They're intelligent, educated people, and they know how to promote themselves. So they're very visual. So it's an easy target.
I was going to say, so you're an easier target than a tourist itself.
You know, an expat who pays more, or a tourist who pays more, they come over, they use their accommodation. A digital nomad might have 100,000 followers and post about their lifestyle and say it's all great and be able to spend 2,000 euros on an Airbnb every month.
Also,
they're much more visual.
I hear what you're saying there with them being visual, if they're influencers and stuff like that, but they're usually within their own brands and within their own markets and sponsors, whoever they're doing their influencing for. And then there's the other side who are like coders and stuff like that, who are very introvert. Yeah, they're almost nocturnal, right? So. Every coder I've met is nocturnal. And they are very quiet people. They tend to be very much within their own space. They mix with their own people. They don't go out causing trouble. They're not pissing up bus stops, right? You know, they're not getting, you know, hammered and rolling around, you know, in Guinness hats, let's say, like I saw on the weekend. So it's actually a very nice group of people, yeah? Well, we're talking about professional people coming to the island to work to offer probably services, which we're going to talk about later as well, And actually bringing some really good people to the island. I don't see what there's a problem. Andy, your son is not, he's connected with this sort of stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he's a digital nomad himself. He works for a company in the UK, and you know, he keeps him. You know, obviously, he keeps himself to himself, and he's not renting apartments or anything. But no, it's. I just don't. I don't get it. Like I said, that's why I was interested to see what the negativity about, because they're the ones that are spending money here. They're not. They're not the ones that are driving up prices, and they're not what the ones driving up the prices on accommodation either. It's the tourists and the greedy owners. Or okay, maybe I shouldn't say greedy, but the owners of these apartments that are taking them off long lets and putting them on weekly basis. Or Airbnb on a daily basis. That's what's putting the prices up, and that's what's causing the aggravation, and that's why people can't live in towns and they have to live outside of towns.
I think there's a big one there as well that we've missed, and I was out on the bike today with customers, and one of the most aggravating things that is going on at this moment in time is the TF1, the traffic.
Don't say traffic. Please don't.
And we go back into this. We've had this conversation over and over again. Department of Transport, stop spending money on delivering masks that don't work, right? And let's start looking at the case of the actual road system that we've got going on. We need a congestion charge. We need to force people to use their friends' cars, pick each other up, start car sharing. Let's get a congestion charge on the TF1 between the rush hour times, and it will cut down this overusage of people who shouldn't be using it, because they're going to pick the kids up from school, which is 10 minutes down the road that they could walk. Or it could be, you know, car sharing. Do you know how many people I saw coming down the, fighting my way through the traffic?
Yep.
How many cars had one person?
One person. I've seen it on the motorway. I've seen it going to schools when I used to take my kids to school. It's been like it's just one person in the car. Even the people coming to work in the shift work, one person in the car. And I even see it with the builders coming to construction sites. I mean, well, I've spoke to you before about having some kind of off-site parking facility and bussing people in.
Yeah, yeah.
That would
look at the amount of excess land that is around. Look at Los Cristianos, for example. You've got roads and infrastructure that have been there for the last 20 years, sat there doing nothing because two families are squabbling over who owns what land on the way down into the main island, into Los Cristianos. All of that could be turned into car parking areas. You could have a ring and ride on there with a bus. I even tried to look at that myself, couldn't get anywhere with it. You've got no pay and display in the middle of the cities, which they could be using to actually repair the road systems down there because they're in a poorer state. And we've got 100,000 people trying to go in the same place at the same time, all being forced to the same bottlenecks. That is infuriating people. And everybody you talk to at the moment is getting really, really angry about it. And there must be a very, very small majority of them people on that motorway would be digital nomads, Roy.
Very much so. But I mean, another thing that affects that is cost of living, with people having to move further out, then they're having to commute to further away areas.
Exactly.
You know, it's another knock-on effect of no forward planning, bad infrastructure. You know, unfortunately, it's, you know, it's all coming together in you know, I don't think any one of these problems is particularly huge, but when you put them all together, it's becoming a crisis. The accommodation, the traffic, the intersections coming in and out of Los Cris and the TF1 in general is, there's so many things that you can look at throughout Europe that would benefit these areas. But, you know, is it people being stuck in their ways, or is it, you know, local disputes, like you said, or is it governance?
I think it's greed, Roy, because one of the things I have seen increasing, right, frequently now, it keeps making headlines, is airlines increasing flights here, right? So there is a more and more tourism coming to the island, and that is obviously being paid for by somebody. You have to pay a lot of money to get those extra routes on, right, as an airline. So somebody's being paid a lot of money. It's going to be the Department of Transport again. So it seems that all roads lead to Rome, which is the Department of Transport in this situation. And they seem to keep being very, very greedy. We seem to keep allowing more and more people to come. And then the annoying thing with that's happening is we're seeing a lot more accidents on the road, and then they're scrutinising the residents for the accidents, and they're saying, oh, we've got to do more police checks, we're going to do more of this, you're going to have to do more things with your licence, you're going to have to do this, that and the other, because the amount of accidents in Spain is too high. Well, stop letting people jump into hire cars who've never been on the road system, come straight out of the airport, straight onto the TF1, going the wrong way, and that's obviously why you have a lot of accidents, and that section of TF1 is horrendous.
I've got to butt in now. Sorry, Adam.
Go on.
But I've got to say this, because every time I see it, I've got to mention it on the show. They have just changed the bus stop situation on the motorway. Is when you're pulling out onto the motorway, the bus stop lane has right of way. You don't have right of way anymore. So you have to stop going onto a motorway and then start again to pull onto the motorway. I whoever came up with that idea wants locking up.
Again, well, who's it going to be again? It's going to be the Department of Transport again.
Unbelievable. The DGT. It's unbelievable.
I know. The DGT. What is wrong with them? I mean, isn't it bad enough that you have to stop on 120-mile-an-hour down traffic, that you have to stop to enter the motorway from zero? I mean, isn't it bad enough that, I mean, that must have been going on from the days of the horts and carts, right? It must have been okay then. Yeah, of course it was, you know. There wasn't many horses doing 120 down the dirt track, was there? But isn't it time that we took out the palm trees and put some proper length filter lanes in?
That's your main problem.
And then you tell me that they're doing things like this, that we've got buses now to pull out from stop onto 100... It's just like that they want to actually try. Maybe this is a depopulation kind of idea, that if you come to Tenerife often enough, we might be able to depopulate the planet more by killing them all on the road systems.
It's just crazy.
Let's just go back to Roy, right? And Andy, I'd like to get some more information about visas, right? And Roy should be our man here, because he's dealing with that kind of crowd. And let's shine some light on this. We did touch on this before, Roy, but let's go over it again so that people understand that when people come here as a digital nomad or a co-worker or whatever, they are actually paying taxes and they're actually paying into systems, and it's actually benefiting the island. So let's start with just your basic, you know, how does the visa system work again? Let's just cover it off for people.
I mean, with a lot of the remote workers and digital nomads that are coming here, they're not British anyway, so they're coming from the EU. Right. So number one, they've got 6 months, you know, they have full freedom of movement, so they can come here at any time they want.
Yeah.
The only actual problem with that is that 6 months that they should be eligible to pay Spanish taxes. And at that point, they have to make a decision. Do I go home to my home country for however long, or do I start to pay taxes in Spain? And most of them make that decision and get the advice from the people that's needed either way. In terms of British remote workers coming over, you know, most of them I would class as workationers. So you would come over here. And again, it's about tax residency. As long as they're allowed to be in the country, then you know, say someone comes over for 3 months or the 90 days and they're on an English contract. Okay, there might be a gray area of if they should be allowed to work here or not. But as long as they're paying taxes back in the UK, then they're contributing there. And if someone wants to come as a digital nomad, then Spain have developed the digital nomad visa, which, you know, is only for high income individuals. You have to be at least double the minimum wage of Spain being paid in there. And then they're granted a 1 year visa, which can be extended up to 4 years with permanent residency possible. And they are contributing tax paying individuals. And like you said earlier, most of the true remote workers or the digital nomads come from quite, you know, if they're working in tech and things, then it can be quite a lucrative contract that they've got, and they're contributing to the economy because they are going to the restaurants, they are going to nicer places, they are buying luxury items, they are going to BGR Solutions and getting their
you know, I was pleased. Hang on, Adam, you should be going up there because you know.
Oh, that dropped a bombshell there, right? You've suddenly just fell out forever with Andy.
I actually quite liked him. I thought he was an all right guy, but now he's name dropping my position and things like that.
Now, this is the visa thing is obviously what EU wants, right? Because I've saw headlines over the last few days that they are making it more, well, the plan is once we get through the new round of voting on the 9th of June for the MEPs for the EU, then they're going to start releasing all their new laws and legislation that nobody's voted on, but they're just going to release that anyway once they get through to the new parliament. And one of those things is an actual relook at the visa situation, making it easier for non-EU citizens to actually come over and work in Spain. As long as we've got this thing at the minute that you have to have an employer has to vouch for you, and then you have to work for so long for that person, they're actually going to relax all of that. You can actually be let go. You can come over. You can do a month for somebody. If you don't like it, they're going to be able to let you go as long as the employers are happy with that. So they are trying to make it easier for more people to be able to move around, even if they're not EU. I mean, that's going to benefit your kind of community and make things easier.
Do you think it's going to benefit my community? I'm not quite sure. I think it'll benefit the hospitality sector more than anything, because you'll get the British who are able to come back over here and work in bars and restaurants, yeah, which sure, you know, will solve a crisis that's there as well. You know, I don't especially think it will make such a big difference for us. Maybe we'll see more British remote workers coming over and things like that. And maybe even American, especially with the flight routes coming into Tenerife. But again, does that contribute to the problem or is it a solution? You know, if you've got more Americans come to the island, you know.
Well, it's a very, very popular destination worldwide at the moment, right? Everybody looking at the Canaries. I speak to a lot of Americans when I do some of the American chat shows over in Washington. And they are all very focused on the Canaries, right? Because they are seeing it as a new kind of haven to get away to. A lot of Americans looking at moving to Spain. They like the Spanish lifestyle. And a lot of Americans looking to get out of America, right? Because they're just sick of the politics over there. Andy, you go frequently to America. Are you getting that kind of feel when you go over there?
Yeah. I mean, normally, obviously, I've been going over there for 20 years, but you know, when you first go over there, oh, where are you guys from? I'm from the Canary Islands.
Yeah.
Oh, my, where's that? Do you have to go by boat or, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, now you go over there, you go, oh, I'm from the Canary Islands. Oh, which island are you in?
Do they still think it's full of canaries?
Yeah, they're going, you know, is it right that you got canaries? You got a lot of birds there? Oh, no. So, yeah, they're getting to know it. And obviously with Ritz-Carlton running Obama, I think that's one of the biggest destinations for Americans vacate there. I see, because obviously I go down Playa San Juan a lot to Aguasal, and I see a lot of Americans there.
Golf as well. I suppose golf's, you know, a huge part of that as well, isn't it? I mean, there's a big golf scene here, isn't there?
Yeah, it is. Don't talk to me about golf here. The prices they want to charge in the winter is... We need, if there's any developers out there, I promise you now, there's a gold mine waiting to be earned if you design and build a residence golf course.
Let's invite Trump over and say Steve.
Oh, he'll do it.
Let's say he'll Steve did it. Yeah, let's say Steve. Come on, Steve. Get your mate over, Trump. Trump, Steve would love that, wouldn't he? Trump's on his way. He's gonna invest into the Canaries. So look, going back to visas, right? So we've got your visa, which is your nomad visa, which is what's attracting a lot of kind of Americans, UK stuff, people like that. Your EU people can actually just come here anyway, so you get that, Roy. Andy, we've touched on these other visas that I've seen adverts, well, headlines on, is the lucrative visa. Is that the golden visa? Is that the same thing?
I would say it's the same one, yeah. I mean, it's, if you own a property over a certain value, I think you can apply for it. I don't know what other hurdles you have to jump over to be able to get it, but I was led to believe by one person that I know that you can have it for, I think it was 2 years.
Yeah.
And then you have to, if you want it again, and then you have to become a tax resident.
Right.
But I actually met somebody yesterday morning who's already had a golden visa, and it's been 2 years, and he's reapplying again. And he says, no, that's not the case. I'd renew it every 2 years. So whether they've changed it or not.
Or he has the option to become a tax resident, maybe.
Maybe that is the case. Not that
so they can live here kind of, you know, paperless free, yeah, providing that they've got this property, they've got the paperwork done initially, and then they are legal to stay here. There's no 180 days, no 90 days, nothing like that. They can just come here, do what they want, and they can stay here for as long as they want. They just got to keep renewing that.
So I believe. But I don't know all the hurdles for it, but... you know, Roy, you probably know a little bit more.
I think, isn't it, you can do it for, I think it's an initial 12-month period, and then you can extend it, you know, every year. And then after 10 years of continuous residence in Spain, you can become a resident. So it's a longer period before you get that residence.
Is there an age cap on that? Have you got to be over a certain age to do that?
I don't think so. I think it's more of an income and property requirement thing. I think there has to be, you know, the investment into Spain and also a sufficient monthly income, which is higher than the digital nomad visa to be eligible for it, basically.
Right. Okay. So that's interesting that you've got. So there's various ways, and where I'm leading to with this is they seem to be opening a lot of doors to be able to allow a lot more people to move around, come not just to Spain, but to anywhere in Europe, obviously. You know, that's what the EU visa is about. But they still want all of this kind of free movement, people moving around, people being able to fly over here. And is this because of the next subject line that I wanted to bring up, which is I'm seeing a lot of bars, a lot of restaurants, a lot of hotel chains complaining that they cannot take people on because we have got this situation at the moment introduced to us, I think, about the end of last year, Andy, wasn't it? That you have to now give... No, I think it was beginning of last year. You have to now give a indefinido contract to an employee after 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, how anybody can determine 4 weeks... to see if anybody's good enough to be in that position or bad enough, you know, is beyond me. But again, we touch on this every week, is the people that are bringing out these laws have never run their own business.
No.
So why it just takes my breath away that the rules and regulations that they bring in.
Well, what I've seen over the last period, since, let's say that's 12 months ago, wasn't it, Andy? Yeah. What I've seen is everywhere you go now, nobody knows what they're doing, right? You walk into the supermarket, the guy stacking shelves doesn't know where anything is, doesn't know what he's doing because he's only just got there, right? You go in, I was in bed shops, right? I was trying to buy a bed. I went to Conforama. I'm going to name the store because it's an absolute shambles in there, right? None of the staff know what they're doing. Nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows how to help you. And is this what has been like? Is this the kind of the backlash from this ridiculous law that people are now actually taking people on for 4 weeks and then getting rid of them? So nobody can hold jobs down because there's nobody prepared to give a contract after 4 weeks. I mean,
can I just ask though, guys, is this a Spanish wide law or is this a autonomous region like Canary Islands?
This is Spanish across the board. So we used to have a pretty decent law. You could go 3 months, you could go 6 months, or you could go 9 months. And once you could go a month, I think it was a month first, wasn't it? It was 3 months first, and then you got to pick 6 or 9. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've got to go indefinito. And going back to the busy bar thing that we was just talking about, we know that we've got an extremely busy Easter coming up. Yeah. Andy, you've been in the bar business a long time. You know, you've seen it before. Early Easter clashes with Cheltenham. You've got then the Grand National 2 weeks later. So you've got all these kind of 6 week period where bars need extra staff, restaurants need extra staff, hotels need extra staff. But if they take them on, they can only take them on for 4 weeks and they've got to get rid of them. So one, people stop looking because they go, it's not worth it. You'll get rid of me after 4 weeks. And two, it's impossible to take them on and give them indefinito because you're stuck with the staff.
They won't do it. The bars and restaurants won't do it. Not just for that short period of time.
No.
So what they'll do is just put the existing staff under so much pressure we'll sort you out extra days off. You know, and then all of a sudden they've gone. I've seen it. I've seen it in restaurants, and not necessarily just Easter, but really busy restaurants. And I go in there, and you build up a bit of rapport with some good waiters, and it's a busy restaurant. So, and all of a sudden they're not there the next week, and then I see them somewhere else. They're going, I'm getting the same money here, and I'm doing half the amount of work.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going, well, isn't that that's not really the point, is it? You know, you don't want to be stood around. But it's the bars won't take them on. They won't take somebody on just for the initial 4 weeks, six. Well, they certainly won't take it for 6 weeks and give somebody that they can't, that they don't really know how good they're going to work and give them an indefinito.
I mean, this isn't my area of expertise, guys, but it sounds to me as an outsider looking in on this that, you know, obviously Spain are looking at it as if to give employees extra security because they have a longer term contract. But what is actually happening is the adverse effect. It's actually putting more pressure onto the staff because the employers are not, wanting to take extra staff on. So it's having the exact negative effect of what the proposed changes have been made. That's just from what I can hear from what you guys are saying.
100% is having the negative effect, and it's not for the employers at all. One thing you have to remember here, Roy, is this government is the workers' government, right? They are they're a socialist workers' rights government. And for, as we've said before on the show, for every employee you take on, you put a noose around your neck because of the way that they will support them. We had Henry on a few weeks ago who is very, very adamant in how he knows 100% that if an employee takes you to court, 9 times out of 10, they will win every time because the judges are socialistly in favour of leaning that way all the time. And this is just another law, but what I see happening, and I'll give you an example with my child's school. They have down on teachers again. So this is the second time in the year that in 2 years, it was the same last year, has a teacher, start getting schooling done, and then the teacher goes sick. And this teacher goes sick for a considerably long amount of time, right? Because they can. Because they're civil servants in a respect, they're getting paid by the government, and they will have as much time off as humanly possible, right? And I see this happening on the road systems while you've got nobody working on the roads because they all go sick because they're getting paid and they've got these stupid contracts and they get supported. I mean, we see it all the time. Andy, how many horror stories have we get where people are just stuck with massive bills because they've got to pay sick pay?
I've had it. I've had it. I've, you know, years ago, obviously, when we had a big company in the 90s. And then it was a little bit more easier. Then it was like a year before you had to give them an indefinado contract.
Yeah.
And we suffered then. So I couldn't even imagine having 400 staff or something like that, a hotel or anything, now having to give indefinado contracts, because we all know, you know, as soon as they have a snivel or, you know, they hurt a finger or anything like that, that's it. They're off for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Well, it pushes it. One, I think it pushes the black economy, right? Because it pushes everybody and employees into looking for ways that they can not do this. How can we get around it? So it encourages people to look that way because they can't survive otherwise. And for people like, say, look at my business, Andy, over the last 2 years, you know, I had about 100 staff. And because of the constant changes in the laws, we have now drafted down, outsourced everything. We've got rid of all the staff. We've got rid of everything that we can. We're down to about 7 employees. I'm one company that's done that across Spain. How many other companies are doing exactly that same thing and outsourcing? So they're killing their own economy.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, because I understand why they're doing it, but it's all like Roy said. It's just having the adverse effect. You can't.
Well, it encourages people to do what Roy's doing, doesn't it? You know, it encourages people to start to go nomad and start to look for industries where they can go and work away and do this and do that and work in different places and have a different lifestyle. And the types of people that you get in, Roy, I mean, is it all just kind of computer-based, or you get all sorts of people in there, you know, are you with your co-working stuff and your work?
I mean, the majority is digital.
What is it? You said digital nomad. You said there's three different types, didn't you? Just go through three again.
If you break it down, there are three different types. I mean, the everyone calls all remote workers digital nomads. It's the buzzword for everything. But digital nomads are essentially of no fixed address. They are people that work online that travel the globe. They are truly nomadic. So in terms of fiscal details, they look for advantages. You know, you might have a very popular one is the Estonian digital residency, where you pay virtually no tax, but you can work online in the EU. You've got some employees that come in here that perhaps, you know, are registered in Dubai as residents, because there's zero tax being paid there. And digital nomads are the ones that will look for the fiscal advantages. Now, the biggest sector within the community is the remote worker. And those are the people that truly can, you know, that's what I would class your son as, is a remote worker. He has one fixed location for his job and he works remotely on it. And they are the ones that the bread and butter of the community, and they pay their taxes. Once they get over a tax threshold in a country, they will alter the details. Of course, there's going to be exceptions that look for loopholes in the rules, but the majority of these people are educated, functioning people that want to contribute to a society. And then the third sector is one that's quite unique to somewhere like Tenerife, if you look at remote workers compared to other locations. And that's the workationer, which is, you know, someone that has a full-time job, but has the ability to work remotely on it, maybe for a few days a week, but has to go into the office. And then they will take their annual leave on, say, the Monday they have to go to the office, fly to Tenerife, and then work their extra days on the Tuesday in a co-working space. Yeah. That means they can have a degree of separation between their job. So they're coming to a fixed office over here, but then they finish at 5 p.m. and they go to the beach. And it's kind of like the perfect situation.
From a business point of view, can we have access to these people in any way? You know, because, I mean, Andy's been in business a long time. I've been in business a long time. We can sometimes struggle to get certain skill sets here in Tenerife. Although you can have Zoom meetings these days, but when you're discussing IT projects or you're discussing design projects, it can be quite difficult to do that over a Zoom call, because you really want to be in a room sometimes kind of brainstorming with somebody about how this can work and what you envision. And you can't do that on Zoom. I don't care what anybody says. You don't get the same feeling. But is there access in any way to like the community?
Yeah, it's something that we're really working on and trying to open up skill sets to the to Tenerife as well. I mean, I held an event a couple of weeks ago where it was a business founders event in Palma, and my real focus on that was bringing remote business owners, expat business owners, and local business owners together, and kind of pushing them together and saying, well, we're all quite similar. We're running businesses and things like that. And here's our skills and here's our experience. And in terms of having access to it, it's almost an unknown thing. There's people like yourselves who are in need of something, and then you might go on to Fiverr or some electronic thing to look for people. But there's actually people even working in this space. There's a couple of people here who are digital marketers, and they've decided to stay in Tenerife. They've stayed over their 6 months tax reasons. They've registered as autonomo. They're paying their social security and they're looking for clients, but they find it quite difficult. And you know, that's why we're trying to work within the new platform that we're building to have a section where, you know, you can kind of have a request of what you need, and then and people advertising their services within digital products for local businesses, basically. And I think it can really help both sides. Really, we're keeping business on the island. It's stimulating the economy, and you can actually sit in front of someone.
And we could come to your. So we could have a meeting in your offices, for example, at the co-working space. We can use it for that. Andy, do you remember when we used to do the business pages network meetings?
Yeah. I think I went to a couple.
Yeah. You used to come along to them. It sounds like. Roy mentioned there about events and stuff. It sounds like it wouldn't be a bad idea with the three of us, bring Henry in and Steve in and whatnot as well, and just have a little chat about actually an event that we could bring business owners to, and we could actually rub shoulders and with some of your guys who are over co-working and stuff like that, and actually do a little bit of networking, Roy, where we could actually get to know people who are actually coming over through your network and using the offices.
Well, Adam, that was the one that I invited to you to a couple of weeks ago, where we had.
You can't just drop it on me and then expect me to drop. I am actually a busy guy, you know.
We had Jose Fontes, who's a massive, a very inspirational businessman. He runs a massive business consulting service in Santa Cruz. And he actually owns the rights for a publicly offered company called Y Tenerife, which is helping businesses come to Tenerife and move their business here to stimulate the economy. And these are the kind of people that I want to connect together. There's so many intelligent business people that could cross paths with other people from the communities, not just remote workers and expat business owners, but also the local people. And this could actually be a solution to some of the negativity. Is if we bring people together, it's very hard to hate someone when they're in front of you.
It isn't. You know, it isn't, Mike Blue. not in Tenerife.
It Andy, wasn't a challenge.
Andy is actually very, very connected to a lot of people in Tenerife, especially in business. This is something, Andy, that would be quite interesting for us to put together, don't you think?
I do. I do. I agree. But networking has always been something that I've quite enjoyed. Not that I get a lot of chance to do it lately, but that's why we do the Gentleman's Evening once a month.
Yeah.
You know, that's kicked off again. So we all enjoy that. So this is obviously. Well, hang on a minute. I've only just met you this evening.
He's very forward, Roy, isn't he? He's very forward.
Isn't he ever? I was going to mention it. When we finish tonight,
it's an exclusive men's club. That is exclusive men's club. That is Roy. You know, we've got to vet you out for that one.
No, but I think anything that's got a wide variety of different businesses in there, I think it is great if we can get it all together. I'd love to be invited to the next one that you do.
I'd like to get involved and use some of the databases that we've got for emailing and stuff, and put it out on the radio and get as many business owners there as possible to actually mix and brush shoulders with. We'd have to pick it when you get busy again and you know we get through Easter and stuff. Let's maybe look at something towards the end of April or something like that, when everything kind of gets back to normal. And let's get some, because I'll tell you what happens in May here, Roy, and that is that a lot of business owners end up sitting on their doorsteps wondering what the hell has gone on, because business disappears in May completely from the islands in a normal year, right? But it would be good to actually get an event on, I think, that we could. We used to do them at the karting track. Remember, Anne? We used to have them on everything was once a month on a Friday afternoon. And they were actually quite popular. But with your group as well, Roy, where we can bring some people with some very high skill sets. I know they come at a cost, but it's a bit like, you know, it's a bit like getting something done by, you know, getting something done by a professional or getting somebody by a amateur who takes twice as long and costs you just the same amount in the end anyway, you know.
Sure.
So it would be interesting to put that together. Gentlemen, we are coming to the end of the show. Thank you very much for an interesting 50 minutes of talk about business. It's nice to talk about business instead of politics, Andrew.
Do you know what? I was thinking exactly the same thing, and that's not because Steve is not here.
Steve, our liberal friend, who hates everybody and everything that breathes. Apart from his cat, all right? The only thing that Steve actually likes is his cat, right? And I think it's the only thing he would probably vote for, right? But, yeah.
No, it's he always leads me down that little rabbit hole, and I can't get out of it when I talk about politics. So it's been quite refreshing not to actually talk about it, even though a lot of stuff has gone on this week. But we'll leave that for another day.
We'll leave that for the next one. Roy, we will be in touch. Yeah, let's keep in touch. I've got the Volcano Hunt 2024, which is going to be a huge show this year, hopefully, the extravaganza. I wanted to do some kind of package deal and competition with you, Roy, for the Zenden.
Yep.
That you can offer some tickets out there. And we can also maybe, if you want to do a group kind of booking with us, we can do you some discount on groups, because we're doing group discounts for a lot of the other type of different people that we know. So I'll talk to you about that. I'll give you a call in the week about it and see what we can put together so you can offer that out. Andy, we will be there sharing a glass of whiskey, no doubt, as we was on the last
one. And can you let us all know, where's it going to be held?
It's at, do you know where Luther King School is? If you continue past Luther King and you come to the big restaurant on the left-hand side called Asador La Cueva, yeah?
On the corner.
Yeah, with the big car park.
Opposite the castle.
No, past the castle, yeah? Keep going past the castle, going towards Luther King, and then you come to the Asador, which has been there for many years, Campesino, and it's La Cueva. It's a big, big venue. We've got the Food Chasers. We've got Fran Schifino, who is a international flamenco star, and his team there. We have the Bad Bone Stompers. We've got the motorcycle shows. We've got the tattoo expos. We've actually got a photography exhibition there as well this year. Fire breathers, acrobats, magicians. A bit of everything, mate, really. A bit of everything. Cigars and whiskey, no doubt, as well.
That's what I like. I shall get a taxi up and a taxi back.
Yeah, you're going to need it. You will need it, right? No excuses this time, all right? No excuses on the Scots.
And what date is this?
That is on the 20th of April, right? Tickets are available on tomaticket.es. You're looking for the Volcano Hunt. Anybody who wants to get tickets direct and avoid the ticket charges, you can actually come direct to the Speed Shop in Las Chafiras. You can go to the venue, Asador La Cueva, or you can go to the Boxing Barbers if you're offbeat in the north, and they are doing the tickets up there for me as well. So, gentlemen, thank you very much. Roy, thank you very much for your time and your input. No, I appreciate it. Andy, as always, gentlemen,
thank you.
I will see you very, very soon. And as a gentleman, I do have to give you a call about next week's meet because I'm on holiday. So, very sorry. I'll talk to you tomorrow anyway. All right, gentlemen.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right, it's been great.
Bye-bye. Thanks, guys.
Bringing you all the good vibes. Good vibes. 24/7.
You're listening to 90.4 FM, Ride Time Radio.
hits from across the years.
You're listening to Right Time Radio.